This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. Welcome to WGOD Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Dr. Paul Esposito. God is always broadcasting, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we tune into His frequency, we will daily hear His voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Paul Esposito. God bless you. Thanks for taking 15 minutes of your day to join me. Now we are going to wrap up here first, 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter. We're looking here at Paul's prophetic teaching on the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, an awesome thing, a thing that I'm sure is going to cause many, many people, unbelievers and scoffers alike, to say, but that's not fair. Listen to this, the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. It says, this is verse 8, inflaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Imagine that. He's going to inflict vengeance on all those that don't know God. And you say, but that's not fair. How about the poor person in Ethiopia that's never heard the gospel? How about the person in China that's never heard it? And it says, on all those that don't obey the gospel. Remember, the Lord says, if you love me, keep my commandments. By the way, how you doing on that? Are you obeying the gospel? Are you keeping the Lord's commandments? You know, we're so quick to point a finger at someone else. You know, from now on, we need to look on the inside. The next time someone says to you, well, you know, this is not just fair. You know, I don't believe because who did Cain marry? Or, well, that's just not fair. That's just not fair that the poor person in China has never heard the gospel. That's not fair. No, the question is, friend, you've got a sin problem. Let's not worry about who Cain married. Let's worry about your sin problem. How are you going to stand before a righteous God? That's the question. Now, here's the last part of this message here out of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. God bless. Everyone have a wonderful weekend.
The evidence of your salvation is that people hate you for no reason. Watch, go and try this sometime, all right? Walk up to an atheist sometime and tell them, psst, God loves you. And then run for the hills and watch what's happened. Man, you got to have a hockey mask on like Jason if you go up to an atheist and say that to someone. People will hate you if you tell them, God loves you. How twisted is that? You see, friend, people are deceived. You're angry that God loves you? Angry that God loves you? No, someone's pulled the wool over your eyes. This is my point. Most unbelievers are deceived. They don't understand. I heard in France, they said yesterday, they said, please do not pray for us. You know, people were saying, oh, our thoughts and prayers. They were responding, don't pray for us. Makes us sick. We don't want prayers. And then they said, we want champagne and some other thing. I don't remember what the second thing was. But they were upset that people were praying. They didn't want any prayers. And yet God loves you. You're upset that God loves you? See, this is my point, friends. Is that people are deceived. It's my new favorite saying. If you're upset that God loves you, you've been deceived by somebody that hates you. Does that make sense? If you're upset that God loves you, you've been deceived by somebody that hates you. Verse 3 says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because your faith grows exceedingly, the charity of every one of you all towards each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you and the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is a manifest evidence or token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer. One more point here in verse 4. The text says that we ourselves, that's Paul, Silas, and Timothy, it says we glory or we boast in you. I love that. May they boast in me someday. Hey, did you see what that Esposito did? All right, well, he's an Esposito too. Imagine this. Paul saying to Timothy, did you see what that Esposito did? Some woman tried to seduce him, and he told her to take a hike. Or the devil tried to tempt him, and he rebuked him in Jesus' name. Do you hear what Esposito did? Some business partner tried to get him to do something dishonest, and he slapped him. All right, I'm not so big on the slapping part, maybe. But I sure would have loved to have Paul do some boasting about me. How about you? I always try to be like Joseph or Daniel. There are better men than I am, but I certainly try. Since I sure do have enough demons trying to condemn me and accuse me. Verse 5, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you suffer. Since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Notice, payback and relief seem to take place at the same time. It says, you will receive rest when the Lord Jesus is revealed. God will pay back all those that are persecuting Christians with tribulation. This is their payback. This is not your future. For God says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. And indeed he will. God will repay with tribulation all that afflict you. The Lord says, Matthew 24:21, then there will be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days would be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, that's you, these days will be shortened. Your day will be shortened. Their day won't. It'll seem like an eternity. For that matter, it will be an eternity. Now let's get into this prophetic look here at the return of the Lord, verse 8. Let's read it through, starting verse 6 again. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to those that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those that don't know God and that don't obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. Now, doesn't that seem just a little bit mean? Taking vengeance on all those that don't know God. What about the poor Ethiopian that never heard the gospel before? What about the poor sap in a remote part of the earth who's never heard the gospel? That seems kind of mean, doesn't it, for him to do that? And for that matter, what about Cain's wife? Have you ever heard that before? Cain's wife. I don't believe the Bible. Why? Cain's wife. You know, from now on, I'm turning this question around in all similar inquiries. Don't concern yourself with the poor Ethiopian, but concern yourself with the latter half of this verse. Taking vengeance on those that don't know God and on those that don't obey the gospel. How are you doing with that? How are you doing with that? Not just on those that don't know God, but on those that don't obey the gospel. This is my new answer to all naysayers out there. Don't concern yourself with the poor in spirit and the marginalized. God will take care of them. But you've got a sin problem. So I recommend that you focus on that. Don't worry about Cain's wife. Worry that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's my advice for those inquiries from now on. Be worried that the wages of sin is death. You hear it all the time. People say, well, I don't believe because. I don't believe the earth is 6,000 years old. It's millions of years old. I don't believe. I don't believe because where did Cain get his wife? I don't believe because there's slavery in the Bible. I don't believe because ... From now on, next time someone does that to you, turn these things around. Cause people to look into the mirror of their own soul. Okay? The question's not who did Cain marry. The question is, the wages of sin is death. How are you doing with that? It's not who did Cain marry? The question's not why was there slavery in the Bible. The question is, you have a sin problem. What are you going to do about that? Now that turns all the conversations around, causes people to look inside instead of looking out. Don't worry about how old the world is. Don't worry if Methuselah lived 969 literal years. Don't worry, little children die of cancer. Don't worry about these things. You've got a sin problem. That's what you need to worry about. What are you going to do about that? Everyone follow me? I hear these questions all the time. The Lord said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Verse 9. So the next time someone comes to you and says, well, I don't believe in the Bible because there's slavery in the Bible. Don't try to defend the fact that there's slavery in the Bible. Turn the conversations around to ask people what they plan on doing about their sin problem. Because it says in the Bible that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Don't worry about slavery in the Bible. Worry about how are you going to be counted worthy to stand before Him. Worry about what are you going to do if this rapture takes place tomorrow. What are you going to do? You got much bigger problems to worry about that there's slavery in the Bible. Or who Cain married.
Thank you for listening today to WGOD Radio, All Truth, All the Time. We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with Him daily and is tuned in to His frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio and on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, All Truth, All the Time.